My name is Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, experiencing victory over being abusive and struggling with contentment. I was born in Minnesota, the middle child of five, and our neighborhood had dozens of other children, and I have fond memories playing outside until 6 p.m. when my mother would call us in for dinner. As a small boy, I would watch my dad work on cars, and that's where I picked up swearing. And I recall my mother washing my mouth out with soap after she heard me cuss. On my fifth birthday, I vowed to my mom never to swear again, and somehow I've kept that vow until this day. We attended Catholic Church every Saturday night, and at First Communion, I was honored to stand first in line, mostly because I was the shortest person in my class. It was important for me to never miss Mass or Communion. So the seeds of being a rule follower started young. My dad made all of the purchasing decisions at home and then informed my mom. So she would often voice her disgust by muttering in the kitchen, just far enough away that dad didn't hear the complaint. I can remember my parents arguing, however my dad won every argument. It was his way or the highway. My oldest brother was a rager, so he consumed most of the parenting time while I was a conscientious son, following the rules. At school, I loved the structure and soaked up all that positive reinforcement from the teachers. So oddly enough, the last day of school was the saddest day for me each year because I didn't know what to do with myself during the summer months because there was no routine for me to follow. We attended confession on Saturday afternoon, followed by a trip to the local library, where I loved reading about science, astronauts, and world explorers. At age 13, I discovered my dad's cardboard box filled with Playboy magazines in the garage, and it started my decades-long addiction to viewing pornography and acting out sexually. Somehow my dad could have pornography and still be a good Catholic, even a volunteer usher at church. So I just figured this is what guys do. We keep secrets and keep feeding the lust. I never mentioned this habit to anyone for fear of being found out and embarrassed. As a teenager, I saw my oldest brother hit my mother during an argument, but I was too small to stop the physical abuse. I vowed to never physically harm a loved one. At age 17, my sister returned home from a trip to California, and her behavior had totally changed for the better. She'd become a born-again Christian. I loved to argue, but she wouldn't fall into that trap with me, so instead she just handed me a book, The Late Great Planet Earth. So I read it, and boom, I also became a born-again Christian. The Bible suddenly came alive to me, and I could sense God's presence so personally and powerfully, but I still held on to my secret life of lust because it felt so good, at least until I sinned, and then I felt condemned and ashamed. But I never found the courage to mention this battle to anyone else. I attended college and joined InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, really growing in my faith, but unable to confess my secret sin. My parents' drinking was becoming a big problem because they both drank 7 days a week. My mom even hid bottles of vodka around the house, and my dad was a beer drinker and a very funny drunk. But he often flirted with women, setting a bad example for me. My sister and I held an intervention one night with our parents. And to our complete shock, they both admitted their drinking problems and the next day started a journey to sobriety with AA. I vowed never to drink as a result of watching their lives with too much booze. After college, I moved from Minnesota to Oregon, working for a semiconductor company. At work, we reached a milestone, and the company treated us to a fancy dinner, where I had my first glass of wine. Even though I vowed never to drink, I got smashed, and the booze let me loosen up enough to become the life of the party. I finally felt like this group of people at work accepted me. But boy, the hangover and headache were awful. I quit my job and moved to Massachusetts, only to start drinking 7 days a week, following my parents' bad example. My low point with drinking was driving drunk one night, only to have my front tire go flat. When I finally stopped to change the flat, I fell over unconscious, spending the night in a ditch. The next morning, I was still pretty buzzed, but managed to change the flat and find a familiar road back home. I vowed to end my drinking, but it would take another few years for that to happen, as I switched my addiction to booze over to a work addiction, something I got applauded for. I married in 1982 and thought that having a wife would end my secret pattern of pornography, but it had no effect at all, so I continued to lead a double life, Christian and lust-filled, stuck in a crazy cycle, unable to break out. I knew that God could help me, but I wouldn't ask him for help, just for forgiveness, because my habit was too comfortable. My wife and I raised a family of 5 children to be Christians, but here I was living out a secret life of lust. Our 6th child had a genetic defect called trisomy 13. So he was unable to live outside the womb, and he died the day that he was born. I felt like David in the Bible, who had an affair which formed a child, only to see his child die. My wife was devastated by the loss, and I felt so inadequate to comfort her and support her. I called on God to get through each day and continued to put in more hours at work just to keep my mind busy. I got into recovery in 2003 after one of my children and his friend saw pornographic images pop up on my computer screen. I was so busted. I had to admit to my wife, children, and the friend's family that I had porn on my computer. How embarrassing. My wife found a local program for men like me that needed to become pure instead of staying addicted to porn. That first program was expensive, but it introduced me to the concept of 12 steps. By December of 2003, I walked into CR for the first time and discovered that this 12-step program was free. So the frugal part of my nature was just delighted. But I didn't want to be here, and I was critical of the leaders, the steps, and the accountability. Recovery didn't work at all at first because I had a bad attitude about being here. In 2004, I was laid off of my job, and it was because of my bad attitude at work. I often used sarcasm and put-downs to make me feel powerful and to make management look stupid. What an expensive lesson, and I became a freelance entrepreneur. So gone were the good old days of financial ease and success. Hardship was my new friend. At CR, I attended my 2nd step study and was warming up to the program a bit more and met men that have become my friends for over a decade now. One day at home, I heard 2 of my sons fighting in the kitchen, so I left my den to go fix the problem. The older son was being a bully, but refused to apologize, so I picked him up and carried him out of the room. Then I slammed his body into the wooden floor, pinning my knee into his chest. Now he was ready to listen, but I had broken my vow to not physically harm a loved one. That evening, the police visited, and they confronted me about my actions, which was called assault. However, my wife didn't file any charges against me. What an act of grace. I was sorry that I got caught, but not sorry about my physical abuse. Within a few months of that, my wife got a restraining order, and again the police visited, but this time to take me out of the home. What a low point. I'm kicked out of my own home from all the people that I love the most in the world, and I blame my wife for going overboard. At CR, I started my 3rd step study and finally woke up to my emotional, physical, and spiritual abuse and getting kicked out of the house. So I started to make amends to my son, wife, children, and others that I had harmed in my life. Recovery started to make more sense to me, and I was going because I wanted to, not because I was forced to. After 15 months of being away from my family, I was invited back home in 2006. So God was restoring my broken marriage and dysfunctional parenting. I'd been too harsh in raising my children, using my rules instead of building a relationship. What a big mistake. The son whom I assaulted got angry with me one day, so I pushed him out of the house through the back door. As a sign of protest, he threw a flower pot at the window, not knowing that I was standing on the other side. So it broke my nose and sent me to the hospital. We did press charges and my son was taken away, but later a judge decided that he should no longer live in our house. So my sister took him in for a year. I continued to communicate with my son, but it took another year for him to respond to me and to accept my amends. God was healing my broken parenting. At CR, I've been invited into leadership and have become a sponsor, a teacher of new leaders, and a leader in small group. CR has taught me new habits and antidotes to my character defects. To stay sexually pure, I have a filter installed on my internet at home. When I travel on business, I ask the hotel to simply remove the TV from the room. In 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul shares with us, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." When I get frustrated with my wife, family, or other people, I use words instead of anger and revenge to resolve our conflicts. I try to avoid using sarcasm, put-downs, shaming, comparisons, and threats to control others to follow my way of thinking. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." On contentment, I'm learning from Matthew 6:19 to 21. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." On September 1st, I had a horrible bicycle accident where I crashed and was found unconscious and not breathing. I shouldn't even be alive in front of you today. But God placed another cyclist in our group that knew how to get me breathing again. And in a few minutes, I regained consciousness. My memory went blank for about 60 minutes. But at OHSU, they found out that I had a broken clavicle, two broken ribs, punctured lung, dislocated thumb, and road rash. Praise God that I spent only one night at OHSU. Then I could start my recovery time at my own home. Just yesterday, my ortho doctor determined that my clavicle was healing okay and I didn't require surgery. I've been given a second chance at life, and I'm so grateful to be alive tonight here in front of you. At CR, I'm no longer fighting the system, the leaders, or the people in small group. Instead, I'm counting on God to continue changing me through the steps, my spiritual recovery, and through each one of you. I'm inspired to see each person in small group because I can see them changing week by week. And I let them know about it. Affirmation is an antidote to a critical spirit. Working the steps at CR, I have learned that each of my many character defects are all common to man and that I am not alone. And that with God's help change as possible. A recent victory for me was to read my Facebook feed, find a friend make a false statement, and not publicly confront and correct them. I just let it go because I am not that person's Holy Spirit sent to correct them. That's not my job. I pray for them, but don't comment on every falsehood they say. Don't worry, I'm not talking about you. For newcomers, I can tell you that I see the biggest changes when a person goes through step study and really does the work with an open attitude. There is hope to change your broken life into something that is worthwhile, no matter what mistakes have been made or how other people have harmed you. It is never too late to start the path to recovery. I've made so many mistakes in my life and even hurt those that I love the most. Yet God is restoring my brokenness, and God will do the same thing for you, so keep coming back. I share my recovery story and hope with friends on Facebook, my cycling friends on Strava, and all the guys in our small group. I keep my sobriety by giving away my story of hope and change. Thank you for being here tonight, listening to my story. I can hardly wait to hear your story.